702 for the curious
on 92.7 and 106 FM.
It's 14 minutes to 2 o'clock. Whew, that was a nerve-wracking round of brain. The first one, I guess. Yeah, and kind of the adrenaline rush through the body needs to calm down. But now we bring you a very different conversation, and hopefully it'll build on the conversation we were having in the open line. I'm sure you've heard the saying, or people encouraging all of us to serve, because that is when we are most fulfilled. So the benefits of being of service cannot be understated. So when we look at the Wilds, it went through many years of being associated with crime and neglect. It was once actually notorious as a crime hotspot in Johannesburg. It's a park, a beautiful park that is situated in the middle of Houghton and Johannesburg. It's on the Witwatersrand Ridge. It began as an indigenous park back in the 1930s, but over the years, in recent years, there was a lot of neglect. There were vagrants living there. There was just general disinterest, and therefore criminals would use that to target individuals. And overall, the setting had just overgrown, you know, and it needed some tender, loving care, some TLC. And so artist James Delaney got involved. He's a classic example of how one person can make a difference. Back in 2014, he began caring for the park, you know, looking after the plants, fixing the infrastructure. He brought other people on board. And now there is a group, Friends of the Wild, with over 2,000 people that has actually emerged. James joins us now on the line. James, good afternoon. It's really a privilege to talk to you.
Thanks, Zanya. It's a privilege to talk to you too.
So what drew you into the Wild?
I live next door and I got a dog and I needed to walk my dog, and it irritated me that I was living next to this huge green area and that I was told I couldn't go to it.
What were you told? What did you associate? What did you know about?
There was murder and mayhem. People had this like terrible idea in their minds of what might go on there. And so I started going in cautiously at first. I put $100 into my pocket and I kind of like looked carefully around the corners, leave my phone behind. And all I found actually was this incredible forest and these stretches of open grassland and the view of the city. Magnificent, overgrown, but beautiful. And no criminals at all, because the criminals had long given up and disappeared because there was nobody to rob.
Okay. So when the community walked away, they also stopped coming to the park.
Nobody there. And then I just slowly started fixing. And the more that I started fixing, the more I realized it needed to be done. And I just worked on the weekends and I got a few people together to come help me. And for about 2 or 3 years, we just kind of quietly did that. And then it got to a stage where it was starting to look nice, but I realized I needed more people. I needed more hands and more resources to do things really properly. And then I started installing sculptures because I thought that would capture people's imagination. Mm-hmm. And it did. Mm-hmm. It made the Wild Instagram friendly because now you could go and take a photograph of yourself next to like a bright red kudu with the city skyline behind.
And yes.
So, you know, social media has fed it really well, and that's done all the marketing for it, and that's brought the people back.
That's wonderful. So you started by creating the, because you're an artist, 67 hours for 67 minutes on Mandela Day, right?
Then you
added a whole lot of other beautiful animals. I saw pictures of the giraffes. I mean, how delightful is that?
A life-size pink giraffe.
Yes.
Well, think about it. Like 130 years ago, those animals all wandered around these hills. So it's kind of, in a sense, kind of exploring the ghosts of what was before us.
Mm-hmm.
And you see many kids coming from downtown, because we're actually quite close to Berea and Hillbra. And these little kids will come through in the afternoons and come and run around. And I can just see the delight in their faces when they discover these animals. And they're seeing wildlife in a way that they would never otherwise see.
Yes.
They don't have the resources to be able to go to a game reserve far out of town.
Yeah.
So it brings an element of fun, but also learning.
Mm-hmm. I just love that, because then it's also added to the in making it a desirable destination. Is that your dog in the background?
It's Pablo having a bark. Yes.
Say hi to Pablo. You must have a lot of fun running in that park. But I feel like, James, you've really glossed over the amount of work that was required. As you said, it was overgrown. It needed a lot of TLC. It is massive. It's not like somebody's backyard. You're talking about a park, hectares, in fact, that needed, or one side, one part of the park at least, that you've managed to bring back to life. It was known for its indigenous plants. Take me through the work that you did.
It's 40 acres divided in half by a Houghton drive.
Yeah.
So if you drive between like the highway and Kilbra, Berea, Yeovil, you drive right through the middle. You kind of drive through this forest on both sides of the road. That's the wild.
And it has a pedestrian bridge. Yes, connecting
that it. Goes between the two, yeah. And it's remained indigenous planting. So it was planted long ago by people who really knew what they were doing. Like they clustered special plants in different habitats. So there's a whole yellowwood forest in one area. At the top of the hill, there's plants that come from some other part of the country which are used to very rocky ridges. There's indigenous highveld grassland areas. There's aloes. There's incredible variety of plants.
Mm.
And then over the years, it used to actually be like quite barren hillside. It's over the years become forest. And I think the neglected years almost served it quite well because it allowed nature just to kind of get on with it. Kind of thing. So layers of compost have emerged under the trees, and the plants have started propagating themselves. And there's huge banks of flowering plants, which have just emerged naturally. So it's a much better landscape than it was in the old days, where it would have been very baking hot and dry, and not much to see.
Yes.
Now it's like a wonderland of plants.
So there's a community now that exists. You have Friends of the Wild, a community group on Facebook with over 2,000 members. And you've had numerous successes. Other parks around the country constantly contact you, in fact, about what they can do to improve or to get access to these areas, you know, these spaces that they might not be using anymore. What have you actually learned? Because I think this could be a great case study for active citizenship. What have you learned about the power and the role of each of us, of each individual?
It's an interesting question, because when I started, all I was doing was fixing up the park, and I kind of cared about the plants and making it nice. But this active citizenry thing keeps on coming up, and people contact me from all over the country, where they are fixing up their own parks and reserves where they live. There are parks in Pretoria and Craig Hall Park and Swellendam and the Eastern Cape where people have contacted me and said, I want to do this. How do I do it? And my approach is you just go and do it. You know, use your common sense and take a pair of clippers and go and start doing the work. And others will come and they'll follow you. We've got 3,500 people in the Friends of the Wild now. We've had probably about 2,000 volunteers working in the park. Volunteers are wonderful, not necessarily because they're very good workers. It's more because they become vested in the park.
Mm.
If you've come and planted something or looked after something or sponsored something, you're going to come and check on it. And you're going to become a regular visitor. And you're going to fight for it. And we've had lots of fights for city parks, which is like a dinosaur of a bureaucracy. And when we have those fights, the community get behind me and they like fight for things. So it's not just me anymore. Now it's just movement. And it's not just happening at the Wild. It's happening at Zoo Lake. It's happening all over the place. You see it popping up on social media. And I'm always very happy to give people advice and help. And I've sent sculptures to different parks so they can use them to bring their spaces to life. A friend of mine fixed up a whole river area in Morningside. These things are emerging everywhere, which is awesome.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that it would become like this.
Well, you've given us a sense of what we can see at the Wilds. I see Farouk from Observatory, who plans events at the Wilds on Sundays, is also called. Hi, Farouk.
Hi, Azania. Hi, James.
Hi, Farouk.
I see your posts all over the page on the community site. So what are some of the things that one can do at the Wilds?
Well, Azania, first, let's just say James is being really very self-effacing. I mean, he has single-handedly with the help of Pablo, done amazing and awe-inspiring stuff at the Wild. So major Josite kudos to him. Secondly, the Wild really is a homage to Pablo, whom James calls Pablo, but I call Josie's handsomest and also known as his Royal Highness. But we are going to resurrect a sculpture
in his honor.
So the walk and talks, which we do on Sundays, were really an idea of Dakin Parker's, who's now stepped back because he's doing a wonderful thing by becoming a solo parent to twit very soon. So we do some of them. They started last May was when we had the first. We've done a lot of different topics.
This line, Farouk, move a little bit. Farouk? Ah, we're losing you. Your line is failing. But James, we don't have much time left. Can you take us through some of the activities?
We call them walk and talks because people kept on saying they wanted to come to the Wilds, but they were still too scared, which is a bit silly because I see so many women walking alone in the Wilds now. It's quite amazing. It's become that safe sanctuary. But we thought what would work well is to have a talk around a theme. So Farouk will invite different speakers, or he might lead it, and they'll talk about something or read from a book. And the group of people that arrive, no cost, 9:30 on a Sunday morning, and I think in the evening at 5:30 on Sundays as well. You just go for a lovely leisurely walk through the trees and stop every now and then and have a conversation about a theme.
That's beautiful.
It's a lovely way to engage with the space. And some of the conversations and the subject are like really dynamic and forward thinking. It's wonderful. I see he's planning now one for people in wheelchairs.
Yeah.
So there's a special route he's designed, and they'll pop out in a special lawn where there'll be some exercise for them.
Mm.
It's all like people like sort of chipping in with their own energy, their own creativity. There's no set of rules. It's just like, let's bring the space to life.
Oh, I just love that.
And make it relevant.
I just love that. Now. I think anyone who's listening now, of course, can contact you via the Facebook page. But James, congratulations. You and Pablo, because it sounds like he's a fantastic companion.
No, Pablo's got to get the credit.
Through this road. Thank you, James.
It's a pleasure coming for a walk.
I will, absolutely. It's James Delaney. He's an artist who, as a South African, decided to get up and do something about just a neglected part of our city. And I think it's just a fantastic story. Apart from the walk and talks, which you can look up, of course, by going onto the Facebook page. Don't they sound great? There are also Sundays in the Park Day, and it also attracts people who want to donate plants to the park. There's a variety of activities, including walking your dog, the exercise classes. People have put together outdoor exercise classes there, and lots of transformation, of course, is what this park has undergone. What I loved was the pick a book box. It's such a beautifully decorated, bright colored little box, and inside there are books. So there's lots to do, and I see that there's a mountain climber's wall that has also been afforded space in the park. So it's the Wilds now being reclaimed, a great example of how movements for good can change society.